Twinkle, twinkle, little star, how I wonder what you are. Up above the world so high, like a diamond in the sky. Prepare for liftoff!
It's the final program in the series, and the score's 3-2 to the Yellows. Will they win this one and take the series, or can the Orange team level things up to 3-all? Let's meet our regular teams. First up, the Yellow team, led by Captain Major Dick Strawbridge, and his foot soldiers, Callie Munro and Dave Price. This week, the Yellow team's special guest is Richard Osborne, nicknamed Buzz.
Hi, I'm Buzz. I want to be an astronaut and start my own asteroid mining company.
And their adversaries, the Orange Team. They're led by Captain Anne Saunders. And her crewmates are Bowser Munson and Shen Chu. And the Orange Team are joined this week by Charles Simpson, who's known as Chuck.
Hi, my name's Chuck. I'm a senior science technician at a Lincoln Comprehensive School.
Space, the final frontier. Now, your mission this week is to launch this rather delightful London snow dome, and you have to launch this in a rocket which shoots it up as high as you possibly can. But the catch is, I've become rather attached to this little objet d'art, and I would very much like it to land on the Earth again safely. Now, the rocket which reaches the highest point will be the winner, as long as you don't knock any aeroplanes out of the sky, all right? You have until the sun falls from the sky. And the countdown starts now. May the force be with you.
Right. Rocket,
right,
then.
Right, rocket.
Rocket shape.
What do we need?
We need tubing, basically. It needs to be as thin as possible.
And quite plastic. Light as well.
Quite light. Plastic. We're talking aluminium, plastic, any lightweight material.
Tell me you've done it before.
Yes, I've done it.
No, good start. Good start.
Right, I've done it hundreds of times.
Right, what do we need?
Standard shape for any rocket.
Cone at the top.
Cone at the top. Long tube, and then you want fins at the bottom. We'll go into all the various sizes after.
In essence, a rocket is just a vehicle that carries its means of propulsion along with it. All rockets, whether professional or amateur, have the same basic shape. A nose cone at the top to help make them aerodynamic, a cylindrical body, and fins at the bottom to give stability. In professional rockets, the vast bulk of the vehicle is taken up by the fuel and oxidant tanks. Liquid oxygen, hydrocarbons, liquid hydrogen are all used. The payload, including the bit where the astronauts sit, is a tiny proportion of the whole rocket and right at the top. In amateur rockets, the payload, my snow globe, is also at the top, furthest from the thrust motor, which has to go at the bottom in order to drive the rocket forward. The tube also contains an altimeter, which records how high the rocket's gone, and a recovery system, some kind of parachute. To make sure it goes straight up in the air, the teams will probably need to launch it from some kind of a launch tower. And that's all there is to it.
You'll be filling it at the top with a parachute.
Right, OK.
OK. Yep. That's where the parachute goes. You'll have... This will be the motor section, depending on what we find to make the rocket motor.
Yeah. We've got options for propulsion.
Chemicals, some sort of chemical explosive.
Compressed air?
Yeah, compressed air.
How high does this typically go when you build one talking... before?
Because you're a rocket scientist, aren't you?
Yeah, I am. You can say that, yes, rocket scientist.
Parachute.
Material for parachutes.
That's the important...
We'll sort that one out.
Yeah, again, any fabric, and obviously then we need lines that attach to the parachute.
We'll sort that out. So a parachute material, anything you find that can make a parachute.
Yeah. Right, I reckon we ought to go and see what we can find.
Yeah, see what you can find.
And make some more decisions based on what we come back with.
Okay, that's great. You keep thinking up what you need and just get onto us on this.
Enough now, let's go.
This week, the most vital ingredient is the rocket thrust motor. We'd have loved to have left liquid oxygen or hydrogen lying around the scrap heap, but sadly, it's against the law. Instead, we've had to shell out for custom-built rocket motors, and what a to-do. They cost nearly 200 quid a throw. You need a special license for them, and they have to be shipped in all the way from America. We've planted about 10 or so different size ones around the place, but they'll need to be BDI'd. They're between only 6 and 12 inches long.
Callie, like this. Callie, that's the sort of thing we're looking for. That's exactly it.
These all-important red tubes, they're called motors, but they're not really motors in the car sense of the word. They're really glorified fireworks. They fit into the bottom end of the rocket and are ignited by an electrical connection, usually a simple switch, which causes a spark to pass between two wires. This sets alight the contents of the cylinder, a heady concoction of ammonium perchlorate and aluminium powder. It's similar to what's used in the shuttle's side boosters. When it's all burned through to the end, a delay fuse causes a couple of seconds pause before the final element in the top of the cylinder is set alight. This blows off the whole top end of the motor. The bigger the tube, the more powerful the motor, and the longer it'll take to burn. But it's always quick. Even the biggest only take about 5 seconds.
What's that?
Oh!
Don't kiss them,
we
don't kiss them.
A bigger one.
Right, I'm looking for
bigger
it.
Bigger one.
And we've got the motor.
You got a motor, excellent. Is it a big one?
Is there any more?
Well, we found one. What do you want? Some miracles.
You know I demand miracles every day.
This looks like he's got the biggest one.
Yeah?
You don't want to know where I found this.
That's brilliant, Shem. That's absolutely excellent.
Where is it?
This is actually...
Back end of nowhere.
This is the largest casing.
Yeah. So
it means Chuck only got the rocket bug 3 years ago, but he's been hooked ever since. And this year, he became the most qualified British amateur with a rocket altitude of 14,000 feet. Now he and Anne are checking out the first candidate for their rocket body, a charred old bit of drainpipe.
Right. OK, so that's about the right size. That's
I mean, we're not able to cut it in half and use some of it, because it's not bent all the way, it's only bent half the way.
Yeah, we might just be able to use, like,
it's one portion. It actually starts to bend about here where it's got charred.
We're very interested in cardboard tubing, if you can get some.
And how many electrical switches do you want?
Just two.
Bowser getting some electrical switches there. Oh, he's steady on, mate. I was going home in that.
If you find some aluminium sheeting, that could be useful for the fins.
Well, there's two bits back there. Just look at what we've got. What's the point in us scavenging if you don't have a look at what we bring back for you?
What's this? Callie's off camping.
Can we use more than one rocket motor? I found another one. It's about the same size as the one we've got.
Yeah. Yeah, we can use more. Yeah, as long as the more the merrier. Size of the motor, I assume, is going to dictate how long it burns for.
Yes.
And the more longer it burns for, the more thrust we get.
Yes.
Right. Now, we've got two small ones. Are we going to get more thrust for a shorter period? Can we burn two of them? That's the question.
What may be a interesting way of approaching it would be to stage it. Have one in a very short stage underneath the other. That gives it a kick. And then the second one fires straight after it.
We'll talk about that when we actually see what we end up with in the motor
side.
Right,
okay.
Buzz has been building rockets since he was a kid, and even got involved in professional rocketry for a time. A time during which he worked on two unsuccessful missions to Mars, and a payload to the Mir space station that was mysteriously cancelled at the last minute. Buzz is infamous in the British rocketry community for his outlandish ideas. But now he's hit on a rather good idea, of massively scaling down the Yellow Team's rocket.
Oh! No, this is what we do! We can win this so easily. This is absolutely brilliant. We make the rocket. Now, I don't know whether you guys would be keen on this, but you make the rocket this size. If it this in there, it's a lot smaller, and you just build yourself a payload bay that's wider on the top.
I thought you'd like it to be out of...
I thought it had to be 6 foot long.
Yeah. No, it doesn't have to be.
So Buzz is suggesting making a miniature rocket for the Yellow Team. Forget carrying my precious snow globe safely inside the rocket. You're just going to stick it on top.
You know what? I could probably find a tube that's made of this. Like this.
Oh, in that case, we're going into orbit if we get one of those.
Okay, well, let me go find something.
Okay.
Yeah. Right.
Man's quest for the stars. Fascinating. Powerboats, off-road buggies, rockets. It was Germany that really led the field in early amateur rocketry. Throughout the 20s and 30s, Germans were using solid fuel, elaborate gunpowder really, to experiment with a whole range of projectiles. Personal jetpacks, planes, even kittens on board trains. All sorts in various weird and wonderful experiments. Meow. But it was actually an American professional rocketeer, Robert Goddard, who launched the first liquid fuel rocket, a much more explosive recipe, in 1926. By the Second World War, the Germans had got a bit more serious about rocketry and were testing their own liquid fuel rockets, V2s, using London for target practice. After the Second World War, the space race began in earnest. The Americans and Soviets commandeered the top German rocket scientists, who before long were turning out impressive, if sometimes unreliable, rockets. The Russians managed to get the first man, Yuri Gagarin, into space in 1961. And by the late 60s, the Americans put Saturn V up for its first test. The race climaxed in the first moon landing in 1969. Since then, the shuttle has led the way, allowing the launch of hundreds of space missions, including one of the most ambitious projects in human history, the International Space Station. And the amateurs have continued to keep their hands in. Several groups are designing very ambitious rockets for something called the XPRIZE, a race to get reusable manned rockets into space. Back on Earth, the teams are hoping for similarly explosive action. And Dick's talking to Buzz about how they can use their two motors to best advantage.
One option is this.
What, a twin stage?
Yeah. Yep, there and then there.
I'm really sad we're only sending up your little chick. You think I think one of us should be involved in this, really. And our expert's the obvious... No, OK.
Oh, I'd love to. Oh, please, please, can I go?
Look, we've got a ready-made parachute.
So what do you do, just take all the rods off and
fold it down?
Yeah,
like you say, is we'll take all these metal rods out.
Yeah.
Right, because it's already all sewn together.
Right.
All we need to do is then attach some...
Yeah, we can get hold of some cord.
Some cord.
And just attach it at each point.
Basically, yeah.
Right.
We've got a parachute.
Excellent.
Bowser's back with more goodies. So the orange team are getting down to some serious designing.
Right, you've got a nose cone. Okay. And it might have a little payload section, which you're going to put the snow globe and the accelerometer in. There'll be a U-bolt there. Then you'll have, effectively, what's known as a shock cord. This can be anything from rope, string, steel cable, at worst case, electrical cable if we can't find anything else. OK? And this end will be the motor end. Like so. With the fins on it, like that. And in the middle...
You've got the parachute.
Ah, gotcha.
Okay.
So those two bits stay connected to each other and a whole lot comes down.
On the parachute,
gotcha.
Yeah.
So we must need some sort of launch pad underneath it.
Yeah, what we're going to need is on the side of the rocket, we're going to put two little tubes, right? And inside this tube, we're going to the rocket's going to sit on a rod.
Ah, right.
Okay.
Is that like a guiding point?
It's a guide rail so that when it leaves the launch pad,
it's going straight up.
Yeah.
Oh, yes!
Buzz is excited about pretty much everything Callie and Dave have brought back. It's time for a bit of focus, and for that, Dick's our man.
Right, material, an update on what we've actually got here. By connecting these together, which I am sure we have the technology to do,
yeah,
we've got to put an altimeter in there, because that's going to say how high we've gone, so that's going to get added to it. Then, the final bit we've got is the payload with parachute. We're not talking about a lot of weight here.
We're not talking about a huge parachute. We're bringing the whole thing down, aren't we?
No, I don't care about this. I want that down. Is there anything I'm interested in?
Bring that end down.
That's all. So I'm going to put the parachute here.
Oh, God. This end can go. Excellent.
You've got competition for being excited.
All we got to do is get that bit down safely. So that's it.
Anything can happen.
So we'll put the parachute there.
Yeah, in that case, all we have to do is push this off the top.
With the parachute
here. And then the parachute over there.
I like it.
So we put the parachute in the top of this and we just bring that bit down.
Yeah.
Hey, cool. You know what we do? Right, now we've got all this space to play around with, right? If this is coming
all
off on a parachute... Excellent. Stay there. Don't move.
It's so scary when he says these sort of things.
Have you got any electronics? Have we got anything here?
We can do something electronic.
Yeah, excellent. Cool. What we do is we have the altimeter trigger a landing rocket when it comes down. Make it
right, let's not get carried away. Right, that was a good idea. Thanks, Buzz. You keep that one for afterwards. Landing okay. Rocket.
Is it worth working out how long it's going to be first before we start chopping anything?
Look at the size of that.
Yeah. Apparently, we think that's one of the. That's quite
that
a big
looks
one.
Looks like
one
a chunky fella. So, Anne.
Yes.
In rocket building, then.
Yes.
Which, you know, presumably you're learning. You're on a steep learning curve here. Is size everything?
Apparently so.
Weight. Weight's the other one.
Weight.
Power to weight.
Not much and weight. Also, lots of big engine, not much weight.
Aerodynamic type drag.
No, pointy business.
Pointy business.
And then parachutey business.
Yep.
I see you on your thing, on your list, on your board. Tick, 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 tick.
We've got most things, yeah.
Wow.
All we're looking for
Orange
is...
Orange team. Way to go. 8 hours remaining.
Well, they all seem confident enough, but rockets are highly unpredictable machines. So I thought I'd check that launch is on course with a trusty expert, a doctor no less.
Chris, how you doing?
You're awful, nice.
Very nice to meet you.
Dr. Chris Welch is a space systems scientist who's worked on all sorts of NASA and European space missions, so he should be able to keep us on the right trajectory.
A rocket is really anything that propels itself by throwing stuff out the back.
Right.
Whether it's produced chemically, electrically, from sunlight, some people suggested use of lasers.
If you just blow up a balloon and let go of it, that is effectively a rocket.
That's the rocket, yeah. You're putting the energy in through your lungs, putting it in there. It's stored in there, and then when you let go of it, whoosh, off it goes.
Right. They've got about 55 different tubes that they're looking at, the yellows.
Yeah, the yellows are less well equipped on stuff for actually making rocket bodies out of. The oranges sort of struck an early lead in gathering in materials.
Right. They've got a lot of engines, though. Or what do you call them engines? I mean, the red things. What are
well,
those?
Yeah, the red things are the engines. They're solid propellant, reusable engines. But again, the orange team have got the most powerful engine.
Yes.
The yellows, they're talking about staging their rocket. Now, if they could use both engines, then they could stage it. The major problem I can see is there's no way to actually ignite the second engine. So I think the staging thing is a bit of a non-starter for them.
What is really the hardest part of what they're facing today with this project?
It's not really getting the rocket up in the air. It's getting it back down again with the payload intact. It's gravity is a powerful thing. It'll pull you back down, and so you better make sure you've got a good recovery system. The yellows have got the best material for making parachutes out of. They've got the tent, which I think will do better. So the oranges have got an umbrella, which they're going to try and convert into a parachute.
Yeah.
But there again, their rocket's probably going to go up higher, further than the yellows.
Did you always want to be an astronaut then? Has that been something that was like a lifelong interest?
Yeah, basically. I always wanted to do something in space. I read, Dan Dare when I was a kid, And I almost got to be an astronaut almost once.
Oh, really?
The Juno mission when they sent Helen Sharman up.
Oh yeah.
I got as far as the final 20 before being invalided out on a duff nostril.
Oh.
But there you go.
The teams have settled on their designs. The orange team have a J350 motor, the most powerful one out there. They're using a carpet roll inner tube for their rocket body, an umbrella for their parachute, and they're building fins and a nose cone from aluminium sheeting. Their rocket will be about a metre and a half tall and could weigh as much as 10 kilos, so their motor will have a bit of work to do. The yellow team are going for a much smaller, lighter rocket. They've abandoned Buzz's ambitious but unfeasible staging idea and are just using a single motor. It's their biggest, but still smaller than the orange team's. They've not firmly decided on the materials for the body, but the front runners are a couple of industrial water filters. They're packing the payload in polystyrene, which they'll cut into a nose cone shape so it'll do two jobs in one. And they're hoping that the tent they found will make a handy parachute to bring it all back down in one piece.
5 hours remaining.
What's the next door like then?
Well, it's very light, but they're having quite an interesting experience with their specialist.
Yeah? What?
Yeah, Buzz.
Is he quite enthusiastic?
He lives in a sealed capsule of his own that's orbiting somewhere.
Him and Callie should be quite well suited.
Yeah, no, they're getting on like a house on fire.
I will say at this point, I suppose it's better that I come clean. I don't really have a really good record on recovering rockets.
Oh, terrific.
I've got to get them off.
So they get them up, they get up there, but they don't come back down.
Spectacular.
So you fired quite a few rockets in your time, have you, Buzz?
Well, I've been doing rockets since my early teens, or even before that. But I set my room on fire twice, and after that, my parents weren't exactly too keen. So.
Well, they were very fussy, weren't they?
Well, it wasn't... I put the fire out the second time, so it wasn't
the second time.
I put my mom out.
But you want to be? Would you like to be an astronaut in a perfect world?
Oh, I'm going to be. I'm going to build my own thing in about, I don't know, 5 to 10 years' time, and go up there anyway.
Right.
I'll go with you, Buzz.
And
Buzz,
I'll be watching on the telly.
Yeah, it's well, not anyone will allow me to. It's a different question, but.
Can I just point out at the minute that you're mad?
Yes, yeah.
Absolutely barking. Welcome to the LOT.
I'm still not happy about the length. I think it needs to be slightly longer.
For what reason?
For stability. It doesn't need to be...
Buzz is getting cold feet about the design for the Yellow Team's diminutive rocket. He now thinks it might be too short to give stability when it takes off.
The short, fat one will do.
Right.
As it goes up. The long, thin one will do.
Right.
The neutral one will do.
Right.
So, if
as Buzz says, there is an optimum height and shape for a rocket. If it's too short and stumpy, its large cross-sectional area will mean it won't cut through the air very efficiently. And short rockets tend to be unstable and erratic in flight, changing the course. Very tall rockets cut through the air more efficiently, but because of their long bodies, they're more susceptible to strong gusts of crosswind. It's hard to make them both light and strong enough, and they also have a tendency to buckle in the middle. The ideal height, worked out through many years' trial and error, is about 14 times the rocket's width. So Buzz thinks they need to make their rocket longer. But they need to find a material that will maintain its sleek, lightweight design.
How about we drain all the silicon out of those tubes and use those? Per se.
Yeah.
Oh, yes!
If there's nothing else, we can do
this.
That.
I have to put up with this. The dancing bit I have to put up with. He does.
Leave it for the
time. Yeah, don't take a point yet, Buzz.
We might need to use the silicon, but leave it for the time being. And
yes, of course.
To you or me, just a tube of silicon. But to Buzz, well, a rocket component beyond his wildest dreams.
Oh, I am very happy. Oh, perfect. Oh.
The Orange Team have ditched the drainpipe in favour of a cardboard carpet roll innard. Now Chuck's showing Shen how their rocket's going to be put together.
That's going to go in there like that.
Yep, and that's going to be stuck into our tube.
That's going to go into there.
Yep.
This one's the thrust one, you see. This is one that all the power's going to be transferred to the rocket.
But as Dr. Chris said, the difficult part of building a rocket isn't getting it up, it's getting it back down intact. So the teams have a bit of work to do on their recovery systems.
So I reckon we're going to cut it there.
Yep.
This then becomes the payload section with the nose permanently fixed onto the top of it.
Yep.
And then this section will be what we call a booster section, which has got the main engine in.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to cut.
Most recovery systems involve blowing the rocket into two or more pieces, but keeping them all together with a joining cord. When the fuel's burned through, it blows off the top of the so-called motor. It works almost like a miniature rocket booster. As it goes, it pushes a piston above it, which hits a metal sleeve inside the body of the rocket, which in turn blows off the whole nose section, the bit with my snow globe in.
Inside, a cord on a U-bolt keeps the nose end attached to the tail end. The parachute, which is joined onto the middle of the cord, should bring the whole lot floating back to Earth in one piece.
What I'm going to do...
Right.
It's going to chop the pipe about there.
Right.
OK.
That's going to sit in the middle and hold the two halves together.
Yeah, but one end will be fixed to one piece.
Yeah.
And the other end will be free to slide in and out.
Yeah.
So that when this pushes the piston up, it'll also push the top off.
Right. And then the two halves are connected together by...
the shock cord, which is over there next to the seat.
Ah, gotcha.
We could see heights of a couple of thousand feet from our scrap rockets, but Chris tells me these amateurs have much more starry-eyed ambitions.
What do you think will be the next step in the space exploration that will capture the world's imagination, like the first moon landing, such an amazing event? I mean,
there's three things, really. There's space tourism. Right. There's a thing called the XPRIZE, which there's an XPRIZE foundation in America, and it's a bit like the early aeronautical prizes for, you know, flying across the Channel, flying across the Atlantic. It's for the first organisation to put together, design and put together a vehicle which can fly three people into space, suborbitally, so just up to 100 kilometres and back, twice within 2 weeks, replacing no more than 15% of the actual structure.
Yeah. I see what you mean. Right, it's not the people that count, but it's the ship.
Yeah.
Right. So it's quite small then. Three people is not a big...
No, it's not a big ship. I mean, there's about 15 different entries from around the world on this. Some of them more realistic than others. The other stuff will be either going back to the moon or sort of first human being on Mars.
Do you think how Buzz is very keen to go to Mars himself in his own thing? I mean, how mad is he to think that he could do that?
He's pretty mad to think he could get to Mars.
Right. But is he not completely mad to think he could get out of the Earth?
Give it 20 years.
And quite a lot of money, presumably.
And quite a lot of money. I mean, again, it depends, you know, how safe you want to be.
Yeah.
If you're not even concerned about coming back alive, then, then you can cut corners. But again, you know, whether anyone would actually allow him to do it is another matter entirely.
I mean, who would stop him now?
Let's get this made, you get your rocket made, and then we'll pull the two together.
Yeah. Yeah?
There's only one man who can stop him, Major Dick. But Buzz is far too busy to care. He's weighing their rocket ship for its voyage into space.
Oh, my God!
Is that good? Is that good or bad?
Oh, my God, we're under 2 kilos. This is unbelievably light.
Wow.
This is going.
But what's Dick up to? He seems to be taking the scissors to that perfect parachute-shaped tent.
Are you going to make it the whole thing into a lovely ready-made parachute?
No, I think it's a bit big, because we haven't got a very big tube. We've got a very, very
light
tube.
Can it be too big, though? I suppose if it's too big, it'll...
Well, the thing is, we've got to try and get it into a very small tube.
What about if it was just like that bit?
No, you only need... That's a fair one, right?
I'm just wondering, because then you can thread through there and... or something. It's already got the shape.
Hey, Buzz, give us 2 seconds. We'll get an answer.
Buzz, the re-entry expert.
So we can actually try and take it across like this and have what is a large rectangular...
That's too big.
How big do you want it?
That size, given the weight of that, it's going to drift into the next county.
How big are you talking about for your parachute?
Oh, about that.
Well, it's not a very big parachute we're talking about.
No.
Man spoken, away you go. Go on, crack on work. Cheers, Bob. Thanks for that.
Good. No,
it was a fair one.
Nobody ever listened to me. Listen to me. I don't care. I'm going to go.
Over the wall, the Orange Team's parachute has been considerably more labour-intensive. Anne, what a typical girl, has been sewing for hours.
Oh, no, that really looks like a proper parachute, doesn't it? I love that. I love the top bit.
That's quite sexy, isn't it? Let's just hope it works, eh?
Well, Chuck's been climbing the walls, and he's ready to see if their beautiful parachute's any good at flying.
Yes, it's all perfectly safe. It just about opened up before it hit.
Ah!
There, look at that. Yeah. You can get the impression,
yeah,
can't
no,
you?
Yeah, no, that was doing it.
I mean, that's sort of like 15 foot or something like that.
So you're prepared to bet the entire series? And on this chute opening, this is what you're doing?
Well, look, you just told me theirs was a pocket handkerchief, so you
yeah.
Know.
That's all right. Yeah. You can actually feel by... Get your hand on that and give it a pull. You sort of feel...
Oh, that's quite good.
Yeah, okay, yeah. That's done. We'll just put that out of the way. That's so sweet.
As if his parachute advice weren't enough, the good Mr. Buzz is also persuading Dick to use a rather unorthodox form of padding inside their rocket.
Tell me what we're going to do with the cabbage.
The cabbage
is going where?
Is biodegradable wadding. It's a green rocket.
It's a green rocket. Biodegradable wadding.
Yeah.
So there's an explosion in the... At the end of this thing that's in
yeah,
here.
Yeah, there's a small explosion that fires up there like a bit like a cannon.
Yeah, it blows the cabbage out. In fact, we'll have coleslaw at 2,000 feet.
Yeah.
What we're looking at. Brilliant.
Even Callie is not entirely convinced by Buzz's latest vegetable developments. So she's looking for a little clarification.
Where's all the cabbages?
The cabbage leaves go in here. Because the motor's going to be here. Mm. So... What you don't want
so
is
it's
hot.
Thrust up all the cabbages. And
yeah, because you don't
going.
Want hot exhaust gases going into the parachute because it's going to burn it. So let them burn the cabbage first, and in the process that pushes the parachute out.
Right.
Or that's the theory anyway.
Chuck's just realised he's made a nasty mistake.
Right, what's next?
Do you know something? I've just thought of something we haven't done.
What?
We haven't attached a shock cord to the U-bolt at the end that I've just glued in.
Look, guys, a bigger head.
Well done, that's great.
That's very good. Thanks, Shen. We just came to a bit of a problem.
What's that?
We haven't attached the shock cord to the U-bolt that I've glued in place.
No! That's a bad one.
Chuck's glued the U-bolt, which will attach to one end of their shock cord, into position on the inside of the rocket, but he forgot to tie the cord onto it first, and now he can't reach it. To remedy this situation, they'll need to tie a weight onto some string, drop it into the upturned tube and wiggle it until it swings through the U-bolt. Then they can turn it back up the right way and tie it with a slip knot. That's plan A.
Hey.
It's stuck. It's not heavy enough. It's stuck on the U-bolt.
You sure you can't get your arm in?
Not unless you've got very long arms.
Plan B, cut the end off the rocket.
Right, stop there.
If I lost a little bit of my shoulder, I'd be right.
How are you putting it on?
What do you want me to try? Hey, Shen, now all we've got to do is tie it.
Yep.
Oh, you put a slip knot in the end?
Yep.
Yep.
Actually, I better...
Crisis averted.
Excellent.
The crisis might be over, but with just an hour to go, will their rocket make it to the launch pad?
Chris, they've got an hour to go, and there's two things that sort of look like rockets. I'm a bit worried about the top on the orange team's one. It seems to take an enormous amount of time to create that.
Well, functional, but I have to say it does remind me of the Tin Man from The Wizard of Oz. The orange team rocket still looks heavy, heavy to me.
They haven't got any fins on it.
They haven't got any fins yet, and they haven't got a colour scheme either. I mean, you know, it's still kind of cardboard coloured with a silver top.
I think they've got all their internal gubbins. Quite well worked out, yes.
And they've got their launch system sorted.
Yeah, that's good.
That's all there. But with less than an hour left, I'm starting to get a little concerned by orange.
So cake decorating, tell me how often you do that, Dave.
It's an almost daily occurrence.
Yeah. Kind of yellow, on the other hand. Interesting nose comb come payload carrier, yes. Which I think they probably scored some points on originality there.
Yeah.
Unless
that all right if it's that end of it? I mean, presumably, I suppose, because it's going to hit that end first when it lands, isn't it? I think, because that'll be dangling underneath the parachute.
Yeah, I mean, that will be the bit that will probably hit first. But, yeah. I mean, they've been careful to put a lot of padding around there.
Yeah. The whole series is riding on the result of this launch, you see. I mean, if the yellows get it, that's it. They've cleaned the board, you know.
If Orange wins the launch, it's a draw. Okay. There's a hell of a lot resting on this, let me tell you.
So Buzz and Shek are really under pressure.
I mean, what's going to happen if Buzz wins? What will he do? He'll explode, I think, on the ground.
He will go into orbit.
How do you like your cabbage? Do you like it...
in the hall. For my cabbage.
That cabbage is the only thing separating a highly explosive motor from my very delicate objet d'art. Worrying.
Or something there, couldn't we? 3 minutes remaining.
Before we put it in there, I think we need to do one thing. Bob.
What is it?
Kiss it. This could be the last time you see it.
That's me objet d'art. You're packing it.
We're packing it. Kiss it goodbye.
Have a good trip.
Don't worry.
I hope it's all right.
We're just going to shoot it into space. Doesn't matter. Right.
This is the point of no return. So there we go, and we go down there.
10 minutes to go, and time for one last brainwave from Buzz.
That's looking good, but I don't know if it's not a little bit too tight. Yeah, that's done.
In fact,
plunger.
May I suggest...
It's going to be scary, we'll say yes to this.
No, it's not
scary.
Well,
it'll be scary.
Why not, where that piece of wood is, above the wood...
Yeah.
In the actual chamber, have a couple of springs. They don't have to be large springs. So in the event that the parachute does get caught in there, the springs will push it back out.
Well, sorry, we haven't got a spring. We've got 5 minutes. The answer's
right.
Tape it.
Okay.
All right. Yeah, it's a good idea. We like that. An hour ago.
Bit late.
Yeah. But Buzz ain't giving up that easy.
Oh, God! We need a dustbin lid.
What for?
We need a dustbin
lid. Why? Just say why.
Mission control. We need a dustbin.
Well, you can put your hat on and go and look for one. Meanwhile, we'll get this taped on.
Mission control. Why the hell didn't we think of that?
I don't actually know what it means. Sorry, have I missed something there?
Obviously.
That was Buzz.
I'm utterly mystified.
This is what it comes down to, teamwork.
Teamwork, yes.
At the end of the day.
Three of us holding one team
and one of us riveting.
Shen's teamwork's gone a bit out of the window. While three of the team want to get the rocket checked and into position on the launch pole, Chuck's not keen. He doesn't want to move the rocket until the glue on the runners has set. He's being a little more cautious after his earlier mishap.
Yeah, we've got to put it on the thing.
We've got to put it on the pole.
Well, we can't. There's no way to put it on the pole until we've got this in place.
Can't we lob it on the post?
Hold on. No.
Whoa. No, Buzz.
No, you've just moved it. Keep going. Stop.
You're going to have to put a pole up that.
Yeah. We're going to have to put it on. Why can't we put it on?
If you put it on, it'll slip off. It won't.
Well, then we hold it, yeah? I stand there till it dries, yeah?
Well, you're going to be standing there for a long time.
Fair enough.
Well, if you want to do that, we can do that.
Rotate that one anywhere you want.
Well, yeah, we can put it on whilst
we're
going. Worst
we tape it onto the pole, yeah?
Okay. You got the base plate on?
Yep.
The precision of the launch pole is pretty crucial. Just a few millimetres off vertical at liftoff could translate into significant height loss for their rocket by the time it reaches 1,000 or so feet.
Keep going.
Right, that is not straight.
No, we know.
Not even close to being straight.
That's better. That's looking good.
That is a good rocket, actually.
So, the Orange Team's rocket. A carpet roll in it, an umbrella for a parachute, and an old tractor tyre hub for their launch tower. They've christened it Death or Glory, because it's make or break time for them. And the Yellow Team's rocket. A couple of industrial water filters for the body, a bit of tent as the parachute, a nose cone made of polystyrene, and a hastily adapted satellite dish for Buzz's pretend mission control. They've called theirs Space Cadet. Can't imagine why.
Yo!
Not bad.
Scrap heapers, tin heads, rocketeers, you've done yourself proud. Look at those. Two magnificent rockets, ready for the big launch tomorrow.
Yeah. You better believe it.
Bowser, what a mate.
Let's go.
Come on then, come on.
What?
Marvellous.
Why is it they seem to have loads more junk than we do?
To launch our rockets, we had to get special permission from the Civil Aviation Authority so they could warn any passing planes. Naturally, we mentioned Buzz's name, and the line went strangely quiet. So anyway, we've schlepped out into the middle of the countryside, far from Heathrow, and any pilots are warned to keep well away.
Somebody want to give me a hand to put this on?
We've allowed the teams a bit of extra time to make any final adjustments to their launch mechanisms.
Right, I'll hold it up, Bowser, you try.
Don't lift it up slightly.
That's it, there you go.
Is that smooth enough?
No, it needs to be freer than that, really.
Yeah. You happy?
I think as happy as I could expect to be. Orange team were having one or two slight difficulties with their launching rod there.
So what else could go wrong here then? What other technical things could go wrong?
You could get a CATO, a catastrophic engine failure, which means it goes bang rather loudly instead of going whoosh.
Oh, I see.
and everything disintegrates. Or you could get a shred where the engine does fine but the rocket isn't quite up to it and the engine attempts to take off through the top of the rocket.
Oh, I see. So you just see the little tin hat fly off.
Yeah,
and so then the
whoosh.
Right, we need to make sure it's lined up over the blast hole. Meant to be, wasn't it? We'll get the actual detonator set up.
Detonator?
Oh, sorry, the plunger.
Run your fingers along it.
Yeah.
There, that's it. Now it's bending this way. You want to push it this way.
Not too much, Baz.
Give it another go, see how it is.
Yeah, let's give it another try.
Can if it's not, it will run with whatever we've got.
Yeah.
30 minutes to launch.
There you go.
Hey, that worked.
Well, they're both ready to go. Who's your money on now, then?
I figure my money's still on yellow, just by a whisker. It's very, very close. They've each got things in their favour.
Their firing devices must be at least 50 metres away from the rocket launch pad, just in case of any mishaps.
Off the wire. I don't know how we're going to get that one off.
The Yellows won the toss and have elected to launch their rocket first.
Well, we're ready.
This is it, guys. This is the one. Yellow team, are you ready to fire?
Ready to roll.
Yo, we're ready.
Oh, yeah.
OK, quick wind test. It's going up now. Yeah. It's going up.
It's going the right way.
It's going the right way. The rocket should land right on our heads. Let's start the countdown.
All right.
20, 19, right.
Here we go. Here we go, everybody. 60,
hey, good luck, Buzz.
40, 30, 12,
ready, Callie?
7,
Luna.
6,
Luna.
5,
Luna.
4, Luna.
3,
okay, baby.
2,
kiss the sky.
1.
Hasn't that quite got a parachute on there?
Oh!
It's all right, we had polystyrene. It'll be okay.
Well, let's have a look at that with our computer readings. Callie's taking the plunge. Amazing takeoff. Look at that little nipper go. That is some speed. Oh, yes, and our computer's recorded the maximum as 192 miles an hour. And it's gone completely through the clouds. We've lost it. Luckily, the computer's got it, though. And the height on the altimeter? 1,458 feet. Extraordinary. No sign of the parachute, though. Buzz did warn them about his woeful record on rocket recovery.
Good launch, guys. Excellent launch. No obvious deployment of parachute, you know. So, Oranges, you may have this in the bag. If your parachute comes out, we might be there. You ready?
We're ready.
Okay,
good
let's
luck.
Start the countdown.
Well, here we go.
7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Lift off.
Yes, it's a bit.
Come on!
Yes!
Oh!
Yeah, go!
Never as high as us. Never as high.
That's
the perfect umbrella shoot. Look at that.
Yes. Whoa, way to go. Whoa.
And let's see that again. Nice finger work, Shen. Another superb liftoff. And the orange team speed slightly slower. It is a heavier rocket, remember. But not bad at all. 150 miles an hour. And their maximum height? The whole series is riding on this, remember. We're just waiting for that figure. Look at that perfect parachute deployment, though. Sheer poetry. Oh, oh, but the height's less than the yellows. 1,034 feet. That's nearly 400 feet lower for the orange team.
Oh, well done. Brilliant. Brilliant.
But it didn't go as high.
Yeah,
well
done, bud.
Yeah, but you've got to get it back in one piece, mate.
It'll be all right. It'll be all right.
Go and get your missiles.
So the yellow team are ahead on altitude, but height means nothing unless my treasured snow globe is still in one piece.
We should be able to see the chute. It's probably further than we thought.
Here it is.
Yes. Come on. Hold on. Piston.
Apart from a bent fin, no damage.
Parachute's still intact. Well, we can't. We've got to take all these off before we can take the hood off and find out whether it's okay. No.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Ooh, it's a bit of a dent.
Oh, heck. Well, I hope it did land in that. Spread out a bit. If it's in here somewhere, we're going to need to cover a bit of ground.
I'm not sure the yellow team are even going to be able to find theirs.
Any sign?
It went miles. Buzz has really excelled himself this time.
Where are you? All right. Yeah.
What's it look like?
Oh. 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 Ooh.
That hit pretty hard, didn't it? That was about... Oh, there's the parachute.
Let's check it out. Why didn't it happen?
Parachute was still folded up.
Yeah. Didn't even come out. What can you see, Bob?
Well, what I see is the whole series resting on this approach.
Oh, God.
It looks slightly less than perfect.
We've been miles.
Never mind, you've been miles.
That. Look at that.
Well,
all right. Gather round, let's have a look. What have we got?
has it gone?
Callie's got the news.
What have you got there, Callie?
Sorry.
Oh, no!
Yes!
Wait, you've got to make sure it's all right first.
We don't know what's happening in here.
No, this is true.
With the yellow team's snow globe smashed to smithereens, it's all down to whether the oranges is still intact.
No, I didn't.
Will you be able to see it straight away in there?
No, it's underneath the altimeter.
Oh, I see.
Here we go.
Your Honour, take this out and then put your hand in. No looking, no peeking. Put your hand in.
Bubble wrap.
Come on.
Yes!
Yes! All right.
Yes, Bella.
Yes!
So that means, Anne, the orange team win, which means it's a 3-all draw. The whole series is 3-3.
Sorry, guys. Well, that team.
Oh, yeah! It was great, kid. It was good, wasn't it, team?
It was so close.
Well, that's it for this series of Scrappy. I hope you've enjoyed watching us make the biggest, loudest, most explosive, deepest, bubbliest machines ever. And remember, as Thomas Edison said, all you need to invent something is a good imagination and a pile of junk. See you again soon.